WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Of all the independent labels that flourished in post-World War II America, none, according to rock historian Ed Ward, is as mysterious as Apollo. Ed says Apollo recorded some of the most important talent in New York and elsewhere during its heyday. However, much of its material has long been out of print, its whereabouts unknown. Now some of it has surfaced on a series of reissues on the Chicago Delmark label.
Apollo Records was founded in 1944, and like many labels in those days, it was initially based in a record shop run by a white couple named Berman. The Bermans had a distinct advantage over some labels, though, in that their shop was located near the Apollo Theater, Harlem's legendary talent showcase. With all the performers flocking to the theater, it wasn't hard to come up with artists for the new company.
Canada, we want Canada.
What do you mean, we want Canada? Don't let Mr. Schiffman hear you say that. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your master of ceremonies, Willie Bryan, coming to you from the stage of the 125th Street Apollo Theater. It's your amateur night in Harlem. Well, here we go now. Look out. Now, if you think you can sing and dance, let me hip you in advance. Anyone here can take a chance at amateur night in Harlem. Why, maybe you can hit the top, who can tell? Then again, if you should flop, Puerto Rico's gun will pop. At amateur night in Harlem, don't you know every Wednesday night you can find a lot of new stars to follow when they make their debut on the stage of the old Apollo? Do you know, folks, that Ella Fitzgerald started here? You too can start a great career or get thrown out right on your ear. It's amateur night in Harlem. Look out, Tab Smith.
One of their releases, in fact, was this tune by Willie Bryant, who led the pit band at the Apollo and who is known as the Mayor of Harlem. They made history with their very first session. Featuring Coleman Hawkins, an established star, playing compositions like Budidot, written by the trumpeter on the session, Dizzy Gillespie, the six sides that resulted from the February 1944 date are considered the first bebop recordings. They didn't sell, but they are of immense historical importance. With radio play almost non-existent for R&B and jazz, all of these labels had to rely on jukeboxes for sales, and Apollo's approach to this was to release as many records as possible, getting their material from wherever they could. Somehow, they had a constant supply of music from the West Coast, some of which, like this session with Dinah Washington, with help from Charles Mingus and Milt Jackson, was superb.
I'm in love with a man who's not in love with me. Yes, I'm in love with a man who's not in love with me. If I can't get that man, I'd just as soon be down deep in the sea.
And the label's economic backbone was always commercial jazz by tenor saxophonists like Arnett Cobb, Bobby Smith, and Willis Gator Jackson.
Lord Jackson, Lord. Lord Jackson, Lord. Lord Jackson, Lord.
Lord Jackson, Unfortunately, the Delmark reissues are only of Apollo's 1000 series, the records designated by the Burmans as blues or jazz. I say unfortunately because the label's best-known star was neither. Mahalia Jackson's debut for Apollo, Move On Up a Little Higher, sold 2 million copies for the label, and several of her subsequent records did nearly as well. Mrs. Berman was a tough cookie by all reports, and she always had a clause in her contracts with gospel singers that allowed them to record secular material if they wanted to. Seeing the numbers, she pressured Jackson so hard to cross over that she eventually drove her into the more accepting arms of Columbia Records. She succeeded with another group, though, the Royal Sons. Their sales were nothing to get excited about, and they had come to New York City from North Carolina, so it was easy to get the dazzled country boys to change their name to the Five Royales and start making R&B. Changing times, the Paola scandals, and economic conditions put Apollo out of business in 1962, although they continued to repackage their Mahalia Jackson catalog. The folks at Delmark think the Bermans are probably dead and won't reveal where they got the masters they've reissued, so in death, as in life, Apollo Records remains as mysterious as ever.
Ed Ward is a music writer based in Berlin. Most of the music Ed played is from the Apollo series on Delmark Records of Chicago.